Welcome back to the Townships at 12. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Maureen, and I will be with you for the next half hour. In this segment, I will be talking with Cynthia Roy, the Communications and Media Manager for Literacy in Action, and today Cynthia will talk about lifelong learning and its challenges. But first, we will hear a new song by Canadian artist Nelly Furtado, and the song is called Honesty. We will hear the interview right after the song, so please stay tuned. For the Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Cynthia Roy to the Townships at 12. Now, Cynthia Roy is with Literacy in Action, and she is the Communications and Media Manager, and she's also working on a special project. So welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you very much.
Now, could you give us a bit of an overview of Literacy in Action and what your service is about before we get into more on the interview?
Sure. So Literacy in Action is an organization that really focuses on encouraging adults in the Estuary region, English-speaking adults, with lifelong learning. One of our big goals is to help English-speaking adults who struggle with really basic skills like reading, writing, and using computers, because that's becoming more and more of an essential skill for people to use today. Then we also do a lot of family and community programs that really encourage people to use literacy skills in everyday life.
Okay, you certainly have a lot of different activities going now. Now, the importance of lifelong learning, could you elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, so lifelong learning, you know, most of us, we experience kind of the biggest chunk of learning in our lives when we are, young and in school. And some people, especially people who struggle when, in school, they might be like, okay, now school's done and, I'm putting that behind me. But the fact is that learning is such an important part of being human. And we absolutely need to be constantly learning new things, especially in a world like ours that is changing so rapidly. For us to be able to learn new things, to upgrade our skills, and is just a really important part of being able to, have skills that are relevant for, for the job market, but also just to be able to have a more fun, meaningful life of learning new things and being open to new experiences. So that's part of, and like I said, for everyone, no matter like who you are, what your level is, whether it's, I don't know, learning new recipes or learning to, a new instrument or something. But then, like I said, we really focus at Literacy in Action on really basic skills like reading, writing, and computer skills. And one of the reasons why those are so important is because those skills are often very necessary to be able to learn other skills. So we really focus on building a foundation that empowers people to be able to continue learning for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Right. And one of the things that, like, for a lot of adults who are really, you know, struggling with building a lot of these basic skills is that they're able to learn best often when they have the help and support of someone who's really walking along with them step by step. And that's one of the things that we do at Literacy in Action is when we have someone who reaches out and is like, hey, we really like to build on my reading or something like that. We work with them one-on-one, and we really focus on what it is that works best for them. How do they learn? And it's interesting because a few years ago, my Joanna, who's our executive director, she was explaining a little bit to me about what it's like to be someone who, you know, struggles with skills like learning to read and, you know, how hard it is for them to reach out for help and such. And as she was explaining a little bit about the experience of being, you know, a low literate learner, I really saw myself in what she was saying, because at the time, I didn't have my driver's license. And I was really struggling with believing that I was never going to get my driver's license, which, I don't know, maybe for some of your listeners, you know, you've been driving since you were 14 or 16, and it just seems so simple to you. But for me, it was such a stressful, terrifying thing. And I, last year, you know, I was 30 years old, I finally got it. And I was, really fascinated to kind of go through that process of learning, you know, what for many people consider to be a basic skill. But for me to learn a basic skill in my 30s, and kind of experience this journey of lifelong learning as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to you. That must have been
Thank you.
A huge accomplishment. And I'm sure that your high after that was probably more intense than somebody that gets their driver's license at 16 or 17.
Right. It definitely gave me a lot of freedom that I never imagined I would. You know, I had developed all sorts of coping mechanisms and all sorts of ways of building my life around the fact that I couldn't drive. So, I lived in town and was able to walk anywhere that I needed to. If I really needed to go somewhere, I could depend on friends and family. But, you know, I really worked my life around the fact that I didn't have that basic skill. And, you know, that's something that we also see with, you know, a lot of our learners. Maybe they believe that, you know, I've gotten along this far without needing to read. I have everything that I need in my life. Why would I need to, you know, build a new skill like that? And the freedom that I experienced learning to drive was unlike what I could have imagined. And, you know, even though people might have built their lives around, you know, being able to cope with this, you know, whether also with digital skills, people learn how to cope with, I don't need to learn how to use a computer. I've gotten around this far. Why would I need to learn a new skill? But then when they actually take the time and have the support and learn how to do something new like this, they get to experience just a new level of freedom and a new level of thriving that they couldn't imagine before.
Mm-hmm, definitely. The fear of failure is so prevalent in challenging yourself to learn a new skill.
Yes, definitely. When no one wants to put themselves in a situation where they're going to feel stupid. No one wants to put themselves in a situation where they know they're going to make mistakes, but that is just really an essential part of learning. I know that was definitely significant for me. I hated making mistakes, and That was part of why also finding a really, really good teacher was so important for me, because I needed a teacher that I could make mistakes around and it was going to be okay. They weren't going to make fun of me or judge me or put me down. That also gets kind of into another aspect where the person who finally, you know, after so many times of trying, I had my learner's permit 5 times before I finally got my driver's license. You know, and every time that I did it, every time that I got my learner's permit, I was like, you know, maybe I'll do this time. But then it didn't happen and I failed. And, you know, maybe, you know, for different listeners or different people who have experienced learning these skills before, learning how to read or learning how to use computers, you might be thinking, okay, but I've tried that before. You know, I went to school, I've had a tutor before, and it didn't work. Why would it work this time? And just really having the right support, having someone who's willing to just really walk with you step by step, can really make all the difference. And so, like I said, this time I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a try. And the person who was my teacher was my husband. When I got married, my husband told me, this is very important to me. I want you to get your license. Even though it made me really nervous, he was the right person for me. And he worked was very patient with me. And even though a lot of times it would have been easier for him to just get behind the wheel and drive, he's like, no, today I want you to drive and I want to see you improve in practice. And so without his support, I don't think I would have been able to do it.
Okay, it's so important to have support. That's wonderful for you. It just, you know, it makes me realize support is such a important aspect in learning anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, maybe for your listeners, maybe there's people, you know, maybe you're listening and you think, you know, you have someone in your life who, you know, struggles with some of these basic skills like reading, writing, and using computers. It might be a parent or a sibling or a friend, a neighbor. And really, people who, like, you know, come and use our services and grow these new essential skills, often they do so because they were really encouraged and given that push by a friend or a loved one. And so often these are very, you know, to just start that conversation of like, hey, have you thought about, you know, going back and learning how to read? It can be a really uncomfortable conversation, but it's so important. So if you know someone who struggles with these basic skills, we really encourage you to, you know, share with them, hey, did you know about literacy in action? And did you know that they offer one-on-one help to help people learn to read or to use a computer? You can also say, hey, do you mind if we make a call together and make that call with them to give them that support, or ask them, hey, would you be okay if I called Literacy in Action and invited them to call you back? That's something else that you can do with their permission. And if they, you know, need help to, say, get to an appointment, to be able to, you know, say, hey, I'll give you a lift. And remember that, you know, these skills like reading and using computers are so valuable to giving someone more independence. And while, you know, in a short term, it might mean a lot of, you know, a lot of giving and a lot of them depending on you to get to that final destination, and the final point is not so that they're always going back to you and always depending on you for help. The really big goal is to empower them to become more independent so that they can go on and do things themselves and be able to, yeah, just do a lot of these things that maybe they depend on you for a lot now, but in the future, they can do themselves.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Taking that first step of reaching out. Someone reaches out to you, what happens after that? Could you take us through a few steps?
So if when someone reaches out to us, we'll often, you know, it might be through the phone or through our email, then we'll have someone else, you know, that comes back and reaches out to you and get to know you better, get to know what your interests are, what your skills are, what community you're in. Because remember, Literacy in Action, our main office is in Lenoxville, but we cover 7 MRCs. We cover the entire Estuary region, which is a big amount of territory. So once we get to know a little bit about you and the community that you're from, then we want to ideally find a tutor from your community. And that might take a little bit of time to find someone who is the right fit to work with you, another volunteer. But once we find a person from your community, then we'll really offer both of you, the learner and the tutor, support that they need to be able to do whatever it is for the learner to be able to gain those skills. And like I said, we really work on a case-by-case basis. So every person's experience is going to be a little different because the skills they have are different or the background they have. One of the really interesting and challenging things about the Eastern Township is that there's not a lot of specialists work with the English-speaking population. And so as a result, there are a lot of different needs and learning difficulties that get undiagnosed. And so there's a lot of adults that are, you know, going through life without realizing that they have a neurodivergence, but they're a little bit different in the way that they think. And our school systems are really built for, you know, one type of learner. But we recognize at Literacy in Action that everyone has the potential to be able to build and develop their skills, and no matter what kind of learner you are. And we want to be able to tailor our approach really to the specific person, to your way of learning, and to your way of understanding the world. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about the process.
Are you always on the lookout for tutors?
Yeah. It can be sometimes, you know, it's definitely an interesting puzzle trying to find the right tutor and the right learner. So, you know, someone could reach out, hey, I'm interested in tutoring. And we're like, okay, but then it's, you know, maybe another year, 2 years before, you know, the right learner in their community shows that they have a need. But we're always looking for and, you know, wanting to build that net, that area of volunteers so that, you know, if we have a learner in Richmond or a learner in Stanstead or in Magog who's like, hey, I would like to learn, we can be like, you know what? I think 2 years ago we had someone reach out from Magog who was interested in volunteering. Let's see if we can continue and build that relationship. And so that, like I said, yes, we're always looking for volunteers, but especially for this, for the one-on-one work that we do, it's not always like an immediate, okay, we have a job for you next week. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a wait. But if someone is interested in volunteering with us, we're always really happy to hear from them and to get to know them more.
Okay, that's good. And I like the way you said it's not just reading and writing, it's computer skills too, which are so important in today's world.
Yes, absolutely. One program that we are working on getting off the ground, it's interesting every year to find the learners and tutors to work through this program, but we have a program called Tech Hub, which is a one-on-one kind of computer help desk that we do, where we have learners come in and they sit with a tutor, and for 50 minutes, they work on very basic skills. You know, a learner might come in and be like, hi, I want to know, how do I send an email? I just got this new iPad for Christmas. What do I do with it? And we have tutors that are there that are ready, that work very slowly to help people to practice those skills and gain confidence to use their technological devices. And people bring in their own phones or tablets or computers, and so they get to practice on their own device and build those tech skills.
Okay, that's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, so right now we're really doing a lot of recruitment for volunteers for that program. So if someone's like, hey, and this one is specifically in Lenoxville, if you're like, I live, you know, close to Lenoxville and I'm very comfortable using computers and very patient with other people, I wouldn't mind taking some time to give my time and help others to build their computer skills, then, you know, you can use our website or give us a phone call, and we would be really happy to, yeah, have you join our program.
Okay, that's great. Okay, anything else you'd like to add? For instance, the phone number, email, do you have a website too?
Yeah. So I'll give you our website. Mm-hmm. It's LIA-STRIE.org. On our website, we have our we have a contact page where that has all of our information. So if you are good with computers, that's a really simple way of being able to find out more about Literacy in Action and find our sign-up page. Our phone number is 819-346-7009. And for anyone who is interested in contacting us over the phone, it's a little bit tricky sometimes to catch us in the office, but if you leave a message, I always listen to the messages as soon as I get to the office, and I will call you back as soon as possible. Someone from the organization, it won't necessarily be me, but someone from the organization will call you back.
Okay, that's great. Regular office hours?
No, because like I said, we cover the full Estrie region. So our office in Lenoxville is really mostly for administrative purposes. And then when we have programming, usually our programming happens in other places. And like I said, when it comes to our one-on-one services, we usually try to have that happen in the community of the learner. So they don't have to, if they're in Stanford, they don't have to do an hour commute to, be able to build those skills. So yeah, we don't really have regular office hours, but if people reach out to us through email or by phone, that's the best way for it to contact us, and then we can respond to them and work on building that relationship, either by inviting you to come to our office for an interview or something, or by just getting to know you better over the phone or in your community.
Okay, that sounds good. You cover a huge territory. I don't think a lot of people realize that. Okay. Anything else that we left out that you'd like to add, Cynthia?
If you want to know a little bit more about the activities that are coming up, I know that I have my coworkers are going to be joining your program in a few weeks to tell you more about the Migratory Roots Festival and the Help Project, but the Facebook page has our most recent list of activities that we're doing. And so you can look up Literacy in Action on Facebook and make sure to pick the one that's in Sherbrooke or in the Estrie in Quebec. And that gives a little information about our most recent projects. Also, our newsletter that we send out by email is a really good way of learning better programs. It has lots of up-to-date information. So yeah, I'll just invite people to, if you go onto our website, you can join our newsletter there, and then get about once every 2 months, we send out a newsletter with our most recent activities that are going on.
Okay, that newsletter is extremely helpful. Okay, well, thanks very much, Cynthia Roy. Cynthia Roy for Literacy in Action. She's the Communications and Media Manager. Thanks very much for giving us all this great information.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
You too.
barely made it. The fire's raging, but you're so beautiful and it's amazing. Cause I can taste it, our final odyssey.
Just heard a new song from The Weeknd. It's called Dancing in the Flames. And next up, we have some health news for you here on The Townships at 12. As the weather cools and we spend more time indoors, take some simple precautions to help protect your family from a fire or carbon monoxide emergency. Smoke alarms are the first line of defense for fire prevention. The National Fire Protection Association recommends installing smoke alarms inside every bedroom and on every level of the home, including the basement. Carbon monoxide, also known as CO, is a colorless, odorless gas. CO alarms are the only way to detect this potentially lethal hazard in your home. Regularly test your smoke and CO alarms. Replace the batteries at least every 6 months or consider upgrading to a model with a sealed 10-year battery. Fire extinguishers are another important safety tool to have in your home. They should be easily accessible in key areas, such as near your stove, and it's crucial to know how to use them properly. Learn more about protecting your loved ones at firstalert.ca. And that's some news from News Canada. And we have another community announcement here, the Lennoxville Community and Heritage, September 28, 2024. The Uplands Cultural and Heritage Center invites you to rediscover the rich and tangible heritage of Lennoxville and meet the people who keep these traditions alive. Join them at the Lennoxville Public Market, Square Queen, 152 Queen Street, on Saturday, September 28th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. In case of rain, the event will move indoors to the Amity Bondwag Community Center. Four groups will host booths dedicated to showcasing long-standing traditions that continue to enrich the Lennoxville community. Indigenous students from Bishop's University will share their stories and traditions. The Lennoxville Quilters will demonstrate the evolution of quilting techniques over time. Uplands Tea Mentors will discuss the heritage of this tradition in the Eastern Townships. And the Sherbrooke Record newspaper will highlight the history of Friendship Day throughout the decades. Visitors can look forward to lively discussions, demonstrations, and plenty of opportunities to learn. Special thank you to the City of Sherbrooke for making the event possible through a grant from the Initiative to Promote Sherbrooke's Intangible Heritage. So don't miss out on that. Sounds like a lot of fun, a great place to learn too. That's September 28th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Square Queen in Lennoxville. I'd like to thank my guest today, Joyce Brock, in the first part of today's show for telling us all about the 70th plowing match for the St. Francis Plowman's Association coming up on Saturday, September 28th. And in the second half hour today, Cynthia Roy from Literacy in Action for talking to us about the importance of lifelong learning and what services Literacy in Action has to offer. Thanks everybody for listening, and if you know of a community group or a new business, I would love to interview them. Please send me an email to cjmqnews@gmail.com and I will get back to them. We will close today's show with a song from David Kushner, and the song is called Darker Side.
Too long trying to catch my breath. There's a war up against my heart and head, and There ain't always blood in a fight, but you bring me back to you.